Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Amen. Well, you may be seated. I wanted to draw your attention to this little handout that they were supposed to give you when you came in. Everybody got one? Okay, there's just a list of resources in there for you. Of different parenting things. Some of the pastors have got together and said that these are some of the favorite scriptures that they wanted to make sure that you were aware of, and some resources, some books, and some things like that that you can go to. Apologize for there not being any online things. I don't believe we have anything in there that was an online resource, but most everything is online in addition to what you see. So anyway, just wanted to do that. Well, as a point of introduction, like Pastor Dan said, my name is Pastor Mike Bryan, and this is my wife, Pastor Sue, and we've been here for 20 years, and it's been indeed a pleasure being here. The church is, man, it has grown, and so we are just so blessed to be a part of that, and to be able to be entrusted to be over such an amazing children's ministry team. You guys like the children's ministry team that's here? You know, they're just an incredible group of individuals that God brought to us. And so anyway, with all of that, you know, we just encourage you, if you have not been bringing your children over there, please do, because we know how to reach children right where they itch, where they can understand the Word of God at their level. And so it's very important for you to do that. If you have a new baby, then we encourage you, once your child gets old enough to where you feel secure about dropping them off over there, all of our workers have had just tremendous background checks and training and all of that. So just making a plug for the children's ministry right now. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to share a couple of points myself. We've decided to call tonight, Who is the Parent? Who's the Parent? And so I'm going to share a few points on it, and then I'm going to switch over and let my wife finish it off. But you know, it's really important for us to know, of course, who the parent is. I'm just curious here, how many of you are parents in this place? All right, hallelujah. You know, parenting is really a cool thing. But one thing we realize, the very first thing that you need to realize as a parent, I believe, is you need to realize and recognize, number one, that children, your children, are a gift from God. Your children are a gift from God. And I'd like to draw your attention to Psalm chapter 127, verse 3. Psalm 127, verse 3. And it says this. It says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Now that's a good thing, right? Just by itself, right? The fruit of the womb is a reward. That means that children are a heritage. Not only is the children, did God give you a child, but he's saying that it's his inheritance as well. You know, your children belong to him, just like they belong to you. They came from him, and you know, they've been entrusted to you. And then it goes on to say, the fruit of the womb is a reward. And then verse 4, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Wow. Now you think about that, as arrows in the hand of a warrior. Now maybe you've heard this scripture before, and maybe you understand everything about it. But one thing that's kind of interesting is he's kind of painted us a picture of a warrior without arrows. You know, what it is in order for a warrior to be powerful, to be strong, back in this day when the main weapon that they used was bow and arrow, in order for a warrior to be strong, he had to have his quiver full of arrows. And so, you know, it says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. We would equate it today in maybe the sense of going into battle. If you were to be going into a battle back then with no arrows, you would be very helpless. Today, it would be going into a battle without any bullets for your gun. you know, just to draw it into a little more relevance. And so the fact is that he's saying that happy is the man who has his quiver full of them, verse 5. You know, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. He's telling us that children are a gift from him, a gift from God. Children are entrusted to us. Now, what we've heard through the years of being working with children is many times people aren't even happy that they have children. You know, they didn't, let alone think that they're from God. You know, if a child rubs them the wrong way, or sometimes they'll have a child that just didn't quite seem to fit in their family, and so there's always been a extra special chore for them in raising their child, and they go, that child's from God? Yes. The Bible says that children are a gift from God. They're on loan for you for a short time, but he's going to help you. He's going to, he's put them in your care, but he's going to help you. He's going to bless you as you put him first place in raising your kids. Now, our job is to train them up and to protect them. Sometimes we have to work real hard to do that, right? Along the way. Now, this is a quote from Albert Siegel. It says, this is kind of interesting. It says, when it comes to rearing children, every society is only 20 years away from barbarism. 20 years is all we have to accomplish the task of civilizing the infants born into our midst each year. These savages know nothing of our language, our culture, our religion, our values, our customs, our interpersonal relationships. The infant is totally ignorant of communism, fascism, democracy, civil liberties, respect, decency, honesty, or manners. So a child comes in not knowing any of these things. And it's our responsibility as parents to get them into the right mode so that they believe the way that they're supposed to be productive in our society and in life, and to understand the good parts here. Godly parents can make a difference in the future of society. Amen? Sometimes this means that for you, you have to stand your ground and you need to kick devil butt. You know, you need to stand your ground, say, no, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And everything within me is going to fight you. Now, in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, many of you know this, and maybe you've heard it this way. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. That's the way that for most of us, we've heard it, we've been raised up, and that's definitely good, you know, but what that tells us is that if we raise up a child in the way he should go, a lot of times we're raised thinking that what that means is that there is one standard, one way in which he can be raised, and that's got to be this particular law, this particular legal road here is the way that he can be raised. And then if I follow that and I keep him in that particular thing, then that particular way, then he's going to grow up perfect without any problems. But that's not what it says. In the Amplified Version, I'm going to draw your attention to that. It's really a good interpretation of it because it adds to it. That's what the Amplified Version does, right? And it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and in keeping with his individual gift or bent, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Oh, so that's an interesting little addition in there. In keeping with his individual gift or bent. Well, what we found years ago is that we needed to find out that it was a trick to find out what our child's individual gifting and bent was. And that's what your job is as a parent to do in order to be successful with this. Let me give you a little bit of background. I was married years ago, and I actually, you know, I had, this is my daughter, my first daughter here, is down here, Chantel. And I was single for 9 years after a divorce. And so I raised my daughter by myself from age 3 through age 12 when Sue and I got married when she was 12. And so through all of that 9 years, you know, I really didn't have any problem raising her. God blessed me with a very compliant child. He blessed me with someone who is a lot like me in temperament. And so we just got along great. You know, I mean, I was the artist type. She's the artist type. I was, you know, all of that. You know, we got along good. We saw things the right way. I you know, she liked to nature and things, and so I would take her camping with me, and that was great. You know, we got along good. And in fact, I would hear people talk as I got in the church and got involved in things. I'd hear people tell me, oh, it's so hard to be a parent. And I'd think, it is? Really? It's not hard for me. You know, and I thought that I had it all together, and I thought, man, for sure, I should be able to teach seminars on parenting, because I just knew everything that there was, because everything I did worked. Why? Because she was so much like me, and I knew what it is that she was thinking before she ever, you know, even thought it or did it, and so that was really good. Well, then Sue and I got married, and then what happened was we had our first child, Anna. And so all of a sudden, Anna came out of the womb crying and with a set of lungs on her. And I realized, oh my gosh, what did we get into here? She had a strong will, and she had a personality of her own that wasn't like mine. Of course, you know, she was exactly a duplicate of my wife, but you know. But... you know, she had a very strong personality. And from the very beginning, she has always loved books. She always liked to have a microphone in front of her. She's into drama, all of those things. And so, of course, now as a profession, she's a teacher. And so, you know, she likes to be in front of people, always did. And so when we were children's pastors, it made a venue for her really easy to give her opportunity to shine, because she could come up and lead praise and worship. She could come up and do all of these things, and that was really great. And so we learned how to work with that, and she blessed us in our profession. She was able to come forth and enhance the children's program and things, and so it was really great. Well, then our third child came along, Joey. And when he started getting into children's church, I was thinking he's going to follow along right with Anna, and he's going to just come along and join in her with her and be as excited about doing things up in front of everybody that she was. And he wasn't. Well, Anna would come in early in the morning, and she would label all the seats, exactly who was going to sit where. She was an organizer, you know, all that stuff. But then Joey would come in, and all he wanted to do was sit in the back. And it was like, oh my gosh, what did I do? We must have really ruined our kids, because he was so different than she was. And they were both different than the first one was. Then somebody turned us on to a particular book, and the book was called Discovering Your Children's Giftings, Discovering Your Children's Gifts by Don and Katie Fortune. And we read it, and we started realizing that, wow, we could find out there were some differences between our children. And what we did was we gave them all the tests that was in the book, and I'm not here to just promote the book, but we gave them a test. We found out that their giftings were different, and Anna, for instance, was a prophet perceiver. And then we found that Joey was a ministry server. And so, wow, he liked to do things behind the scenes. And so we realized that was where he was going to serve God, was behind the scenes instead of being up in front. Sometimes we push our kids up front, especially when we're in leadership. We push our kids up in front, and we think that they're only going to shine if they're up in front of things, when in fact there's a whole sub-church here that needs to be supported by faithful and capable and willing people. And so he was, you know, he would do the lights. He liked to play the play instrument and stuff. And so he was in the band and different things like that. But he never was he's not a teacher type. And so we had to find out what it was that caused our children to grow the way that God had for them. And that's what I'm saying, is that you realize that God has a specific gifting and a calling upon your children, and you'll be that much farther ahead. Amen? Number two is you need to use your faith in raising your kids. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith, and so I'd like to say parents shall live by faith. Because you need to know, Abraham back in the day, he's said those things, he spoke those things which be not as though they were. And we need to realize that we need to walk, even though our children may seem one particular way right now, we go to God and we get the promises of God on what he's promised us regarding our children, and then we stand and we put our feet firm in faith, and we believe God for the change to take place if there's a change that needs to take place. But we need to see things for what they will be rather than see things for maybe how they are right at this moment. Amen? There's just a list here of, I've got just four different people that I wanted to bring to your attention, because these were things that people prophesied negatively on them, and yet they turned around and they changed the entire viewpoint. Now let me show you. Beethoven. You guys know who Beethoven is, right? The famous composer. His music instructor said that as a composer, he is hopeless. Well, okay. Aren't you glad that he didn't believe that? Thomas Edison, who invented the light bulb, the phonograph, the motion pictures. When he was a young boy, his teacher said that he was so stupid he couldn't learn anything. Boy, you know, and that's the bad part is that our kids will get labels like this when they're little. And then our job is to keep them focused on what we know that they can do and their strengths that they have. Walt Disney. You guys know a little place called Disneyland around here, right? Well, Walt Disney was once fired by a newspaper editor because he was thought to have no good ideas. Louisa May Alcott, author of Little Women, the book Little Women, she was told by her editor that she was incapable of writing anything that had popular appeal. Isn't that funny? Well, you know, you need to believe in your kids, and you need to believe, and you need to stand alongside of them, and even when nobody else believes, you need to believe, and you need to put your faith out there and walk in faith. The third thing that you need to do is you need to be an example yourself. You need to be an example. Your kids are going to mimic you. You're the only person, the only Jesus that they know, really, when they're little, is through you. And so they'll mimic you. They're going to follow you. They're going to do what it is that you are doing. And I saw a recent post on Facebook that was kind of sad, but it had a picture of, it was a little video thing that was talking about this particular subject, and it had this woman walking down, and she's carrying a cigarette in her hand, and it has a little teeny boy behind her carrying a cigarette with her. And then it continued to progress, and it had everybody doing all these raunchy things, naturally raunchy things, ending it with the final thing with a guy beating his wife, and it had turns around and it has the little boy beating her too. You know, it was pretty sad. But the point that they were making in it was that kids will follow you. You are the example in front of your kids. And so what you need to do is you need to keep godly influences in front of them. What are you doing? Are you, when you're around them at home, are you praying in front of them so that they can hear? Or are you not doing anything? Are you dancing before the Lord when you are happy? Are you giving him thanks and praise? Are you reading your Bible in front of them? Are they seeing you do that? If they're not, then they'll see that it's not that important for you to do. Are you putting, instead of reading your Bible or instead of coming to church, are you going to a sports game or something instead? You know, what have you put as a point of importance? What are you watching on TV at night? Are you watching godly things and things that are G-rated or things that are healthy for your kids? Or are you sitting at home watching Law & Order SVU? I mean, what is it that you're watching? You know, it's very important that we take stock of what we're doing as parents, and realize that my child is watching everything that I do. They're watching the attitudes that I have. They're watching the, if I'm being negative about something that Pastor Jim said in the church, and I leave here and we're going to have lunch, we're going to go have Pastor Jim for lunch in front of your kids or whatever. I mean, I know nobody would ever do that, right? But the fact is that you need to be careful of what it is that you're doing, because your kids will follow you as an example. Pastor C, you want to come on up? Amen.
Good job. Am I on? You got the lapel. Okay. Do you want to take your binder away? Thank you. Well, that was good, honey. Good job. I was ready to just keep listening to all that. It was good. Anyway, yes, parenting. Gosh, I've been enjoying this series, haven't you? It's been so good, so good. Well, I've enjoyed every week, but I enjoyed the panel last week. I enjoyed the few weeks before Pastor Deborah did a part one and part two, and we've talked a lot about discipline with children and spanking and all that, but we're going to look at a few things along those lines and really get specific, because sometimes it's when we assume people understand things that there's a lot of confusion. So I appreciate the verse that Pastor Mike used, Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go and in keeping with his individual gift or bent. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. That is so good. When they're old, that which you have sown in them at the earliest points in their life is that which is going to stay with them the longest. Amen? Well, we want to look at training up children a little bit more, and I'd like you to first look at this little YouTube video that I think probably a lot of you have already seen, but I just want you to take a look, and we're going to see at what can all too often be a typical scene in our society today. Do we have that,
John? Like, listen to me. Like, I do this all the time. And if I go out at the house with the door, Patch has his toy, and then Patch has all his toys.
Okay, but I have to yell at you guys.
Okay, Linda, listen.
Okay, what?
Like, everything they do at this house, they can't trust everything at Grandma's house.
Okay.
Okay, then what?
Then you're not listening to me.
Then you're not listening to me.
I asked you not to do something.
No, but listen to me. Look it. If you do something, if you get that out, that birthday off, you're going to break it.
Okay, but I'm letting you know that you cannot. No,
Linda, lick it.
You're not listening to me.
Linda,
listen to me now.
Listen to me now.
No, you're not listening. I said no cupcakes, and you try to get cupcakes, and you try to ask Grandma.
Linda,
didn't you?
Linda, lick it. If we do something without this, if we get close up, you can't even get them. You're gonna burn your butt.
What's gonna burn your butt? You and Kevin don't listen, so I have to give both of you guys pawpaws in your butt.
But Linda, but Grandpa's gonna give me pawpaws in the butt.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
I have to. You don't want me to hit Kevin, or you don't want him to spank you?
No.
Why?
Because anybody wants to spank me.
And then I have to spank Kevin.
But he's my little pawpaws.
He's your little pawpaws, but he doesn't listen.
But Linda, honey, look at this. Right now, you can't do anything if you can't get everything out of the wall. If you're gonna break everything down.
I'm not breaking anything down. I'm just letting you know,
Linda,
you cannot have cupcakes for dinner.
Linda, like this thing, I never belong to you. Anything, you can't get anything and anything and anything.
I'm done arguing with you.
I'm not arguing with you.
You need to listen to the things that I say, because I'm the mom and I'm the adult.
Linda, listen to me. All the time you get them, this thing, but you can't get
them. I'm done arguing with you.
Linda, I'm done arguing with you.
Now, we're laughing at him, and I've heard they made some more videos, and he actually was on Ellen lately, and she gave him the cupcake he wanted, so he got rewarded for his bad behavior. But so we're laughing, but unless, you know, God intervenes, the parents get their eyes open to the need for a little bit more discipline in that situation. He already thinks he's in charge at age about 3. Do you get that picture? And from everything I've been reading, we've gone from a parent-centered view on raising children to a real child-centered view on raising children. And you have 2- and 3-year-olds that decide whether they're going to go into the class to hear the Word of God. You have 2- or 3-year-olds decide what they're going to have for meals. You know, I talked to a parent that said that her 3-year-old, she's all he'll eat is McDonald's. How did he get there? How did he get there? You know, and so coming from our generation, it's just, it blows me away that at many parents think at age 2 or 3 that the child has sense enough to run his life and abdicates much of their responsibility as parents. And so there's some things I just want to share with you tonight that is so clear in the Word of God that if you get everything in order, you're going to have a home that's full of the peace of God and the love of God, and you're going to have children that grow up to love God. Amen? Amen. So Pastor Mike shared the first 3 points. Number 4, I'd like to say that we need to teach our children to respect authority. Do I hear an amen? Amen. We need to teach children to respect authority. In Matthew 8, Jesus said that he was talking to the centurion. And the centurion said that he was a man that was under authority. And he had soldiers under him. And he said, Jesus, you know, you can just say the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus commended him because he said, you're one that understands authority. And if you look in the Word of God, everywhere that God has moved among a people and a generation and with the children of Israel, he always had lines of authority. In God, there is always a line of authority that has to be clear and has to be communicated. So number 1, we need to teach children to respect God's authority. He is the final authority on conduct. Do I hear an amen? You know, our children, as Pastor Mike said, our children came from God. And the fact of the matter is someday they will stand before him and they will answer to him for their lives. And we have them on loan for just a very short time. And honestly, it might help some of you that have older teens and young adults to just step back and put some of that pressure back on God and say, God, you know they came from you. They're going back to you. You deal with them. And really, we kind of take it all on us, that it's all up to us. But he tells us what to do. And then if we do our part, then we need to cast our care on him because he cares about them so much more than we do. Amen? They came from him. They're going to return to him. He is the Father of all spirits. So we have to teach our children to seek first his kingdom. They need to see that he is first in our lives, as Pastor Mike shared, to be an example. That God is first with our week. He's first with our day. When we're making decisions, that we consult the Word of God first. As you're driving home from school, you've picked your kids up from school, and they're talking about a situation of the day. It should become your habit to say, well, gosh, I wonder what God's Word says about that. And that they hear you applying God's Word to the everyday situations of life. Because then that's how they're going to do life as an adult. Amen? This is our owner's manual. This is how we live life. Amen? Somebody said one time, well, I wish parenting came with a manual. It does! It comes with a manual. But we have to read the manual. You know, we were just blessed. We just bought a used Beamer, BMW. It's used, so don't judge. But anyway... it came without the manual. One of those things when you buy used cars, as is. So we had to download it off the internet. Praise God, you can do that in this day and age. But you own a car, you need a manual to know how to run that car, what kind of oil to put in, when it needs it to be serviced, right? So in raising your children, this is your manual. And so as parents, you can't get around it. You have got to be a student of the Word of God, where you spend at least a little bit of time every day going to God and going to the manual and saying, Father, show me what I should do about this situation. Show me what your word says. And you know what I love about the Holy Spirit? He is the teacher of the church. And he will, I tell you, sometimes I'm just thumbing through. Anybody just thumb through? And a scripture will literally pop out at me, and it will be the wisdom that I need for a situation with my children. And so this is your manual, and they need to see that you look to your life decisions, you look to the Word of God to see what it says, and that you answer to God. And that will begin to instill in them the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do we want our children to have wisdom? As parents, do we want our children to have wisdom? Do we want them to be not a person that can't get a job someday, but as they step out into life to be sought after because of the great character and wisdom that they have? And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And so a fear of the Lord, that your life is dependent on God, that they see you in humility turn to God and put Him first. And as Mike said, to be that example before them, that you always default to the Word of God. And many times when they're asking, well, why do we go to church? You should know why you go to church, not just because you've always gone to church. Know that the Word of God says in Hebrews 10:25 that we're not to forsake the assembling of the saints. When they say, well, why should I read the Word of God, Mom? Why should I get into the Word of God? Well, because 2 Timothy 2:15 says that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that Psalm 119:11 says that your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. That they see that if they put the Word of God in them, it's going to keep them from sin as they grow older. Isn't that good? So we need to know why we do what we do. Amen? And then they need to have respect for you as the parent. You are the parent. The title of this message is, Who is the Parent? You are the parent. It's you. Everybody say, Hallelujah. And but they need to respect you as the parent in the home, the authority in the home. There's actually an anger and an insecurity that can rest in a child that doesn't have a sense of the boundaries and what is the expectations are in a home. Because deep inside they know, you don't love me enough to help me manage myself. They know deep inside that they're a child and they don't know everything. And so when the rules change every day and it's up to what mood dad's in and whether mom's tired or not, and every day the rules change, then there's an insecurity that grows with them that they've always got to figure out, where's dad's mood and what's mom up to? And there's not a clearly defined set of boundaries around them that they know what the expectations are. Many times there's an anger on the inside that they don't quite understand, but it's because they know, you're not helping me with myself. Are you with me? Ephesians 6:1-4 says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then it says, now it's interesting that Paul wrote this to the Ephesian church, but this verse is written to children. So yeah, as soon as they can read, as soon as they're old enough, this verse is for them. It's not even written to you, it's written to them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. God tells your children that they're to obey you. It doesn't say, try it, might be good, if Dr. Spock agrees, if it's the latest trend in psychology. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Well, I love that it says that children are to honor their father and mother. So you have got to teach them to honor you, to show you respect. They're not going to automatically get it. Because as we've been learning in this church, we're all born with a fallen nature. And at a very young age, I believe your child is going to receive Jesus. But until then, and get a new nature, but even then once you're born again, you know, you have this old nature, kind of like a dead corpse that you still carry around. And every now and then it resurrects. You know, you thought it was dead, but then it came alive right at that pressure point, and you turned into a crazy person, and then you had to repent. Are you with me? Are we on the same planet tonight? Am I in somebody else's church? Anyway, but it says that we're to teach them to honor their father and their mother. And I just want to step aside here and say, some of you are in situations where you're in a blended family, or you've divorced, and now your children are at your house one weekend, and at the, you know, your exes the next weekend, or there's a shared custody there. But you still need to train your children to honor that parent. And I'll tell you, you're going to do your children a big favor if you don't diss your ex. If you honor your ex. He might not be perfect. She might be, you know, crazy woman. But you teach your children to show respect and honor to them, because that is their father or there is their mother. And you're going to have a much better emotionally adjusted child. That was free. But it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It's the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments. But it's the first one that attaches a promise to the commandment. It says that it may be well with you, that it may be well with your children if they'll just honor you. It's going to be well with them, and they're going to live long. I remember when my kids were little, sometimes when we were having intense fellowship, I would say, do you want to live well? Do you want to live long? Anyway. That's more the teenager getting their face look, you know. But and then it says fathers are not to provoke their children to wrath. We're talking about firm but loving parenting here. We're not talking about anything done in anger. But this is a promise that God has given, that if you will teach your children to honor you and respect you, they're going to live well. Because they understand authority in their life. You're that first line of authority that they're going to ever get. And they're going to live long. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? So let's talk about discipline a little bit. Let's talk about discipline. When we're talking about discipline, and we're talking especially about the area of spanking, what's called corporal punishment, we're talking about things that are willful defiance, not childish irresponsibility. You know, your child is going to forget their coat at school because they're a child, right? They're going to do dumb things because they're a child. They're not an adult. So things that are just in the area of just being a kid, that's being a kid. And so you nag them. You're like a broken record. You know, you nag, you nag, you nag. And eventually they do get it. But when that flesh rises up and there is that defiance that they clearly know the rule and they're in your face going, no. Then, until they can hear the Holy Spirit for themselves, there has to be a consequence that they understand that is not acceptable. Are you with me? And so we want to talk about this area of spanking. Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares his rod of discipline hates his son. This is the Amplified. He who spares his rod of discipline hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines diligently and punishes him early. You know, you'll see that no thing. You know, twos love that word no. They discover it, and then it's no all the time. And you'll see in the little booklets we gave you, you know, James Dobson is one that has written. He's a Christian psychologist. He's written many books and stuff, but especially dealing with the strong-willed child. The compliant child, the easy-natured child, you tell them no, and they go, yes, mommy, yes, daddy. But how many of you don't have children like that? And I know my husband was talking about our daughter, Anna. She's precious, and she's a strong leader, and we love her. But when Anna was little, no just meant try harder. You know? You said no, and it's like, oh, really? Oh, that must mean that's something I want to try. And so there had to be some backing. But if you begin this early on, most of the spanking, the need for spanking, is almost over by the time they're even really in school. The focus is about, you know, age 2 to 10 at the oldest. But I know with our kids, it was more like around a year, 15 months, that it seems like they got that first good one. But it says that if you'll diligently punish them early, that you're going to see some great, great results. And we were talking the other day, and Anna goes, you know, she says, Mom, I know you guys talk about spanking, but I really don't even remember Harley being getting a spank. And that was because, you know, before the age of 4, you really don't remember too much. So you do your homework early on, and a respect for your authority is instilled in that child, and you're not going to have to do a whole lot. As it gets easier and easier as you get older. And then as you get older, as they get older, sometimes you know, hit them where it hurts, like you unplug their electronics or deny privileges, and there's other creative ways. But in talking about how to spank, first of all, I want to read this article, because the question that we get a lot over in children's ministry is that there's a feeling that it's against the law. And let me be clear here. We are not talking about beating children. We are not talking about child abuse. And we're as strong of an advocate on the side of children as anyone around here. We are not talking about child abuse. And in fact, most studies prove that if there is not godly, consistent spanking that goes on to where there's clearly defined rules in a home and there's peace and order in a home, that many times that's what opens the door to child abuse later. Because when the children are totally out of control, finally when they're about, 6 to 8 and they're just, running roughshod over their parents, many times that's when a dad or a mom will just lose it and haul off and go crazy. And that's not godly. Are you with me? So if you have a major temper, you have a major anger issue, I would like to invite you to take anger management. Right, Pastor Joel? Is it Monday nights? Tuesday nights? Get into anger management. You get control of yourself. And we're not talking about anything that's done in anger. We're talking about obeying the Bible and doing what God says to do. Amen? But I want to read to you so we're clear. The California Penal Code 273D PC says, it says that this law defines child abuse as the willful infliction of a cruel or inhumane corporal punishment or an injury that results in a traumatic condition, and they define that later. Simply put, this means that you may be charged with California child abuse if you intentionally harm a child and it results in a visible or internal injury. And that says you don't have to cause the child great bodily injury or harm. Even a minor injury can trigger this charge. But then later, in explaining, and this is an explanation for social workers, the social worker gave this to me, and this is an explanation that helps them, decide if it's an abusive situation. It says spanking, quote unquote, a child is typically excluded from California child abuse law, as parents do maintain a right to discipline their children reasonably in the manner they see fit. So I just wanted to clear the air on that one. Then there is the Welfare and Institution Code, section 300 to 304.7. And let me just read part of it to you. For purposes of this subdivision, quote, serious physical harm does not include reasonable and age-appropriate spanking to the buttocks where there is no evidence of serious physical injury. Are you with me? What we're talking about, and our pastors have done a great job of studying on the word rod. It says not not to spare the rod, to use the rod. And one translation says a reed-like rod. When Pastor Deborah was studying, she believed, and her and Pastor Jim believed that it was talking about a twig. When I was a little boy, we had this willow tree. I hated that willow tree. We had to go get our own branches off that willow tree. And it was just like, oh, it was the longest trip out to that willow tree and back. But I had read after James Dobson and some others, and my kids were little, and they advocated a little wooden spoon. So we had a little wooden spoon, and I had a smaller version I carried in my purse. And in Walmart, all I had to do was show them the end of it. It's a little... And there was a scripture that says, we give it to you in that little brochure we passed out. It says, if you beat them with a rod, they will not die. And so I used to tell my kids that was my favorite scripture. If you beat them with a rod, they will not die. You'll deliver their souls from hell. Now, anyway, but But let me tell you what spanking is not. Spanking is not whacking them as they run by on 3 inches thick of diaper. That does nothing. It's not hitting them on the head. It's not punching them on the arm. And that's what a social worker or someone, a child protection person is going to look for. They're going to look for bruises in the wrong places. But when you've been very clear about what your child should or should not do, and they willfully defy you and say, no, not going to do that, and that ugly rebellion rises up in them, then it's over the lap or over the bed, pants down, little bare buttocks. That's why God gave your children bottoms. And a little switch off the tree. I'm not talking about electrical switches. I'm not talking about belts that fly around with belt buckles. I'm talking about a little switch or a little wooden spoon, and usually one good swat gets them dancing. And if they rear up and they're still got that spirit on them, one more. And then you know when that spirit is broken over them, because the tears come down. That thing that wants to rise up, that rebellious spirit to defy your authority, is broken. And you're not angry while you do that. If you're angry, if what they did just made you so angry, you go take a time out. You rest. I used to keep mine in the kitchen drawer, so I had to walk there to get it. And if I was a little angry when I did it, I said, you know, Mommy should have spanked you because, you know, what you did was wrong, but I wasn't supposed to get angry, so I'm going to ask Jesus to forgive me too. And then you pray, you ask Jesus to forgive him, you hug him, and then it's over. You don't go on and on about it all day when your husband comes home. You don't rant about it for another 30 minutes. It's over. Because when God forgives us, does he forget it? Yes, it's over. It's over. And it reaps that peaceable fruit of righteousness. The same hands that took that little rod went, hug, and there should be that closure afterwards, that you hug them and you love them and you say, now is, you know, are you going to obey Mommy next time? Yes. You know, and you grow in the Lord with that. Amen. Are you good? Are you good? Number 5, teach your children to rule over their flesh and over sin. Until your child can hear the Holy Spirit for themselves, you've got to play Holy Spirit. And so you are the one that learns the word of God and instills that in them to help them rule over their flesh and over sin in their life. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he who keeps the law, happy is he. What you need to do when your children are young, and you can do this actually any stage along the way, it's a step back and in prayer, let God show you, as Pastor Mike shared, you know, what your child's giftings are, or to get a vision for the end product, how you want your child to be someday. Do you want them to be a responsible citizen? They're going to have to be responsible to pick up their toys. Or do you want them to be well-mannered? You're going to have to teach them manners. You are it. You are the parent. And so get a vision for how you want your child to be someday as an adult. Do you want them to have wisdom? Do you want them to make wise choices? Do you want them to pick their friends wisely? Are you with me? And so once you have that instilled in your heart, then when they are acting otherwise, you are the keeper of that vision. And you help bring their character in line. You know, I looked at where God first spoke to the first children on the planet. He spoke to Cain. And it was in Genesis 4:6-7. And it says, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? He was jealous of his brother. And why do you look sad and depressed and dejected? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin crouches at your door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. So one thing that we need to do as parents is to help our children be able to take authority over their flesh, not yield to the lusts of the flesh, but to listen to their spirit and to obey God. Are you with me? Well, I sent off a question to our youth pastors, and I asked them, what are some things that we can do to help parents of teens? I knew that we weren't going to be spending the whole time on this, but I did want to have some help for those of you that have teens and young adults, or teens especially, they're underage, they're still living in your home, and obviously if you're paying the electric bill and you've got young adults living in your home, the rules still apply. Amen? If they're 18 and you still support them financially, what is adult about their lives? Anyway, that was free. But anyway, I sent off a letter to her, or an email to her, to ask her what they would suggest. And there's two internet parent control sites that you can go to that can help you put a parental control on your computer and on their phones and all that, anything that's got an internet access. There's Triple X Church, and that's great because if your kid's really savvy and he's a little hacker and he tries to turn off that parental control, yeah, it'll alert you. You know, so I know I was looking, doing research on cheerleading costumes for a certain event one time, and my husband got a notice that somebody was on the computer looking at pictures of cheerleaders. So that's how good it is. Anyway, it was me. It wasn't my son. So, and then another one is called Covenant Eyes. But this is what she said. This is what Pastor Michelle said, and I thought it was so eye-opening because, again, we're kind of from a different generation. It says, we suggest kids turn cell phones into parents at night. And please, parents, please check their cell phones, texts, Facebook, Snapchats, internet history, etc. It is almost, listen to this, it is almost considered second base now for kids to send nude pictures of each other to their boyfriend or their girlfriend. That's considered, you know, getting to second base. You send a nude picture to each other. I know that's shocking and horrible, but parents need to be aware. This is what's going on out there. You can call your cell phone provider to limit what phone calls they can call. You can limit times that they can call. She said many times teens will stay up all night on their phones or their Xbox and not get enough sleep to be able to do well in school. You've got to have some limits there. Are you with me? Parents need to check anything with an internet access, like an Xbox, a tablet, an iPod Touch, etc. She said also a little neat thing available on cell phones is called Find My Friends. And a parent can turn this on and find where their teen is at all times. It's a GPS. So if your teen says that they're with one group of friends at one house, you can really find out if they're there. That's nice. And it says it's also helpful at Disneyland if you're trying to find each other. So anyway, and then I thought this was really cute. Now what a lot of parents are doing, they actually are having a contract, and you can go online and there's some samples, different samples online, but you have your teen sign a contract for use with their cell phone. If you're paying for the cell phone, they play by your rules. Amen? And I thought this was really cute. John, if you could put it up. This is a way to get some things done around the house. In order to get today's Wi-Fi password, you can change that password every day. In order to get today's Wi-Fi password, empty the dishwasher, fold the laundry, vacuum downstairs, and take out the trash. Whoop, whoop. Isn't that good? So you can still have authority in your home. Are you with me? You can still have authority in your home. And number six, be a loving but firm parent. Be a loving but firm parent. As much as I emphasize discipline and firmness on one side, on the other side, talk to your kids. I always say, keep them talking, especially through junior high, senior high, keep them talking. Talk to your kids. There should be times that you just talk. And if you've been kind of going at it and they don't like your rules and da-da-da, you know, let your hair down and just go walking in the mall or do something that they want to do that is more lighthearted, and continue to keep the ties of your relationship connected. And be affectionate. Oh, I cannot tell you how many facts I've read, and I don't have time to go into it. Be affectionate with your children. You can, so many times you can gauge where they're at. If they kind of pull away from you, something's going on. There should be lots of hugs from dads to daughters, lots of hugs from moms to kids. You know, we've been picking on Anna today, but just by nature, she was a little more independent. You know, I would be sitting in the nursery, and all these kids would just be all snuggly in their mom's laps and everything, and Anna would be looking around for, who's here? And she would, you know, and I would go, she loves me. She really does. But I'd make her hug me, and I'd grab her, you're going to hug me. You know, and again, every child's different, but every child needs that affection. They need to know that they're okay with you. And as we say around here so much, love and approval are often two different things. They might be doing some things right now as older teens, young adults, that you're in their face and you're not real happy about, but you love them. And so you're going to hug them. You're going to spend time with them. You're going to do whatever it takes to keep your relationship connected. Are you with me? So number one, recognize that your children are a gift from God. Use your faith in raising your children. Be an example. Teach your children to respect authority, to rule over their flesh, and then be a firm but loving parent. Most of all, be the parent. Did you get something tonight?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.